This is nothing more than weird trivia, which I'm famous for. I suppose all of us retain that weird trivia at some point. We have that stuff that we keep in the back of our minds and knowledge and such. And here's something that might stick in your mind. It's certainly dated, but I thought it was fascinating. It has to do with the wake-up song that we used just an hour ago. When we started the show, our wake-up song, we always have a song of the day associated sometimes with a birthday, an anniversary. Some we find some way to tie a song into something. And it was actually, unfortunately, to honor the death of the last original member of the Kingston Trio.
Kingston Trio, right.
Remember the Kingston Trio back in the 50s into the 60s. And we used this song here, played just a little bit of it. It's a cool song with great lyrics called Scotch and Soda, where the guy who passed away actually was doing a little solo on this. Bob Shane is his name. He was the member that passed away.
Scotch and Soda.
That's him right there.
Yeah. Mud in your eyes.
Much as it's a trio, this is the only voice
baby,
you hear.
Do I feel high,
it was a
me
Kingston solo
my
effort.
Yeah.
He was 85 when he passed away this past Sunday, pneumonia. I guess he would have been 86 this coming Sunday, or Saturday, February 1st, you know.
Wow.
Anyway.
Guy Martini.
So, it just...
Jigger of gin.
It sometimes happens when
what a spell you
we have these situations. Of, I think I'll just do a little research just to remember what I remember the Kingston Trio, several hits. Of course, the big one is Tom Dooley.
Yeah.
A lot of people remember. But here, get this. Here's your Scotch and Soda trivia about how the Kingston Trio got the song. Scotch and Soda, it says here, if you can trust Wikipedia, was discovered by the Kingston Trio through the parents of baseball legendary pitcher Tom Seaver.
Really?
Now that intrigued me, being a baseball fan. I'm like, Tom Seaver, what's the connection here? So apparently the parents of Tom Seaver were in a hotel piano lounge in 1932 on their honeymoon and heard the song and liked it so much, they had the piano player write it down for them so they could take it home as their song. So the Seavers, Mr. and Mrs. Seaver, loved the song. A member of the Kingston Trio, Dave Gard, was dating Tom Seaver's older sister, Katie, at the time, and would go over to the Seaver household and heard him playing the song over and over and over and liked it and thought, this might be a good song for my group to record. And so he brought Scotch and Soda and it became Bob Shane's, the guy we just heard and passed away. His signature song is part of the Kingston Trio.
That's cool.
Interesting how that came about.
Yeah, and it says here that they never discovered the real songwriter's name. And I looked it up, and indeed, usually you have songwriting credits, especially songwriting credits, for goodness sakes.
So unknown?
Oh, yeah.
It's unknown for all these years. So nobody's ever claimed ownership of it. But
wow.
There's your trivia. How did the Kingston Trio, you know, what baseball player was responsible for the Kingston Trio? You can say Tom Seaver. There's your answer to your trivia. Tom Terrific.
Wow.
It's a great baseball name there as far as legendary pitchers go.
Yes.
Of course, he was big in the 60s into the 70s.
And he made it to the 80s, right?
Yeah, early 80s,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, 80s, for, yeah. Yeah,
but, you know, the Miracle Mets in 1969.
Right.
Eventually ended up with the Reds. I think that's where he got his no-hitter, too. Well, maybe he had two, I'm trying to think now, with his pitching prowess.
Right.
Anyway, like I said, just weird stuff that I discovered. It's like, now we pass it along and... You can win a trivia bet with that.
Yeah, you can. Yes.
I guarantee.
Oh, says I'm just reading this quick story. It says that the Kingston Trio had 5 number one albums. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, they were big.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They sure were.
We talked about how they had won a Grammy Award for Tom Dooley, but they didn't win it in folk music because there was no category at that time for folk music when they first won it. They won it in country western.
Okay. Oh, really?
The next year, a folk category was created just because of that. So, you think about it, and the Grammys that, of course, just happened. Boy, the Grammys compared to late 1950s with the Kingston Trio compared to what we had this past weekend. Just a little difference in some of the musical genres, shall we say.
Still, folk music is around, though.
It is.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Just other forms of music have also arrived on the scene.
Yeah, music that certainly wasn't thought of in the 1950s.
No.
That is,
and
you know,
a lot more dancing now by the performers than there was back in the 50s and 60s.
Isn't that some of those videos are fun to watch?
Yeah.
Actually just have people who are just sitting on stage playing instruments and not moving. or if they're not moving, they're swaying.
Yes, right.
Although, having said that, some of the early Motown groups.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Some of those early
Four Tops, Temptations, and others. Yeah, right. They actually put dance moves on, and it was very coordinated. It wasn't as elaborate as it is today, but they did some spins, and they did some arm thrusts and things like that.
Yeah, and don't forget, the early to mid-60s, a guy named James Brown hit the scene.
The costuming started to come into play.
Yeah.
And they weren't as risque as they are today.
James Brown, well, Dave, go back and go, you remember what people said about James Brown back in those days. Yeah. Oh, wait a second, there was this guy named Elvis Presley. We made sure that Ed Sullivan
doesn't compare with what's going on today.
Didn't Ed Sullivan made sure his first appearance, it was going to be waist up because they didn't want to see him moving those hips.
To what risque was then, to what it is today.
What it is today.
Certainly it's changed, but at that time, parents didn't want their kids being...
As my wife always tells her students almost every year, she says, oh, you guys think that a current artist has pressed the envelope, has pushed as far as it can be pushed? Oh, don't worry. There's always somebody else in another era that will go further.
Even further.